Maybe another thing I can bring up, more of these trails are secluded, more run with someone, or tell someone to be there. Okay. Plus, I need nothing trails do for you. I love trails, they extend my life as a runner. Pavement kills me, trails, I can run much further on it. Just the pounding over the years. Ken probably can attest to it. I like trails better. So if you're looking at doing running for a long-term thing, you want soft trails as much as possible. Next, we're going to talk about training principles. I kind of handed out each sheet that my wife, Deb, wrote up a couple years ago. She's an expert on most of this stuff. We used to have someone come in here every year and give an hour and a half lecture talking about training, the technical terms. We're going to give you a brief overview of it and then kind of talk about what it actually means to each one of you, how to interpret it. Because it kind of doesn't do you any good to talk over your head and find out all this information and go, well, how does that apply to me? Each of you are starting in a different place as far as how much you're running, time goal, how many first timers do we have here? So most of your time goal is probably you want to finish the marathon. That's it, no time goal. Some of you might be running, say you're running 402, 407, and you want to break 4 hours, so you might want to have time goal to break 4 hours. Some of you might be close to a Boston qualifier, and you've been getting close and you want to know, how do I get to my Boston qualifier? So we'll talk about that for a little bit here. First phase of training is the base training, probably the most important part of anything you do right all year. Base about is just put in your mileage. Don't worry about your pace at first. Your pace will eventually come. And of course, those of you who are just looking at finish, you don't never have to worry about your pace. Just complete your runs. As far as on your long runs, you're going to see rules of thumb. If you look, you're going to scout the internet, read books. People are going to tell you anywhere running from 5 seconds over your planned marathon pace to 3 minutes. But for each one of you, it's going to be a little bit different. I kind of suggest a different route. Run your long runs at a nice, comfortable pace. Okay? See what your time is afterwards. And kind of go from there to see how you should adjust to that. Always when you're finishing these long runs, tell yourself, hey, if I wanted to, I could have gone further. And if I wanted to, I could have gone quicker. I just chose not to. Does everyone kind of understand that type of philosophy? Makes sense?
Yeah, for those of you who are building up and not done a 20 miler yet, or maybe the longest you run is 12 or maybe 6, you might feel after you've done your first 15 miler, oh my gosh, there's no way I could run 5 more miles, let alone 12, you know, or 11 and a half. I cannot tell you how many runners have said after that first 20 miler, I can't imagine doing 6 more miles. That's okay. That's all right. It's a natural progression. You're training for October 4th, you're not training for the 20 miler on August 20th. So I think that's the only caveat. If you're building up to those distances for the first time ever, you might feel like you couldn't go any further, and that's okay. You will be able to by the time we get to the marathon day.
It's always progression. And sometimes, if you're dead tired, we kind of space these things out, we give you a little bit of a range. If you're really hurt, say on a 13-mile run this last weekend, you don't have to go 14 this weekend. Just kind of back off just a little bit. It's okay. We have 3 20-milers on the schedule. Okay, we put that on there. Of course, we want you to get 1. 2 would be great. 3 for the people who've been in this class before, run enough miles. That's good for you. For the first-time marathoners, you don't have to do the 3. If we put them in there, that kind of give a little bit of flexibility in there for you. Okay?
Let me just keep in mind the number one goal is to get to the starting line healthy. So,
yes.
You got to think about that as you decide what your distance on the long run day is going to be.
Any questions on long runs? Next we'll go over some technical phrases. I'm not too for those that know me, I'm not too big on these type of things. I'm more what you might call the old school type runner, where you just go out and run. Words, terms you're going to hear is one is VO2 max. Sounds pretty intimidating. Basic definition of it is how much oxygen, milliliters of oxygen you take in per minute per divided by your weight. So you can go to the YMCA or Lifetime Fitness, they'll put you on a machine. You're gonna pay $125, get this test, and they're gonna tell you how much it is or how much oxygen you take in, give you a number, your VO2 max number, and kind of give you a pace what that number is. So your pace might be 8 minutes or 9 minute pace for your VO2 max. Cheap way to do it, go warm up, go to the track, go run 10 minutes, see how far you go, divide, if you run 5 laps, that's 8 minute pace, your VO2 max is 8 minutes, roughly. They'll save you $125, and why you need to know that number for us, I don't know. Maybe for the world-class guys, they might need to, but most of us, we do not need to know.
Is that 10 minutes all out or 10 minutes?
10 minutes all out. Just as fast as you can. I cheat, and Mike knows this. I do a mile. I'll go run a mile on the track right before grandma's. I go run a mile. I kind of know, well, if I run a mile at 6:10, well, for 10 minutes, I'll probably run about 6:20 pace. Kind of guess. And do with that information, you can find books and charts, and they'll tell you, based on your VO2 max, what paces you should run certain things at. That's hardcore science. I think marathon running is more of an art. Each of you is going to be your own best coach eventually. You need to learn how to interpret your own body. We're here to advise you. You give us all your information. We'll tell you what we think you should do. But in the long run, each one of you is going to know what's best for you. The next term is going to be called lactic threshold. I'll get a kick out of that one. That's when you run at a certain pace and your body is producing more lactic than it is dumping out. So it starts accumulating into your bloodstream. And that causes, I want to say, hydrogen ions to affect your muscles to slow you down. Way they test that, only way to do it, you go for a run at different paces, they have to take blood on you. Okay, and they test it and see if you start accumulating. You can estimate this pace. I think there's a number compared to your VO2 max. It's not exact. Once again, it's going to be in textbooks. It's going to be in training manuals. Improve your lactic threshold. How much detail for us you need to do? I honestly don't think you do. The most important thing is, as Mike's preached from day one, time on your feet. Get the runs in. Try to run 5-6 days a week. That's going to help you improve all those things without going through it. Other terms we're going to talk about would be tempo. Tempo pace, by definition, is going to be how your pace is if you run for an hour. Some of you, if you run a 10K in an hour, you know what your tempo. That's your tempo pace. Pretty straightforward. Any other terms they use?
No, but I mean, that covers the rest.
Yeah. From all this is going to be in here, you can find literally books on this type of stuff. You can spend your time reading it, or you can spend your time running, which might benefit you a little bit more, honestly. I've been doing this for a long time, trained with a lot of good people back a long time ago. They didn't talk about VO2 max, they didn't talk about lactate threshold. I went for runs. One day would be a hard day, one day would be an easy day, kind of alternated. Make sure on your recovery days you rest. Okay, and for some of you, after Saturday's run, you might have been pretty tired. So Sunday, Monday, the best thing is you see 3 to 5 miles. The pace you should go at is whatever pace you need to. If you need to walk, then walk. Say you run 8 minute pace on your Saturday run, Sunday, Monday. If you need to run 9 or 10 minute pace, go ahead. It's just a recovery day. All you're doing is you're circulating your blood, and that's just helping your body heal. Mm-hmm. Questions on that? Yeah.
Well, you guys mentioned that it's really important to give a short run to recover from the end of the long run.
Yes.
Can you explain how that's beneficial?
Did everyone hear a question? She wants to know why it's important to do it the next day. Big thing for me, I feel I recover better by moving. If you start moving, your blood's circulating. Blood circulating heals the body. Okay, if you sit there, you do nothing, your blood's not circulating, you're not going to heal as quickly. Of course, there's a fine balance. You don't want to overdo it where you start stressing your body again. Because if you do that, then you're starting to build tiredness on top of tiredness on top of tiredness, and eventually feel a little bit burnt out.
I think there's lactic acid buildup. There's something that's in your legs that gets filled up. I think it's leftover lactic acid. And by getting the run in, you get the blood moving, you're working the gunk out. Basically, you're working the gunk out of your legs.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it and you sit and rest, it sits there. And it's going to be there on Monday. And I mean, I remember when I first, for my first marathon, I think the longest I ever run was 15 miles. And I remember 18 miles, and Marty said, go run 20 minutes tomorrow. And it felt, the first 5 minutes just felt impossible. I was like, are you kidding me? I can't run right now. My legs are shot. But after, I mean, I'm talking maybe three to four minutes per mile slower than what I was running yesterday, but I was shuffling. And by the last 5 minutes, I was running. It looked like I was running. If you go by, you know, that guy's not a first shot. So I was able to sort of get that running form back. And then I felt better the next day. If I had taken the day off because running just seemed like a pipe dream, it would have felt like a pipe dream on Monday as well.
And, well, like if your legs are beat up and your quads are sore, and sometimes that is going to happen. There's no way you can run. Go for a walk,
yeah.
Or go for a light bike ride, not far. So you're just getting some type of movement. Go for a swim. Just do some small activity. Just to get the circulation going and flowing. See, hills, which we're going to start this week. Okay. I'm horrible on hills, but I love doing hills, okay? Hills help you so much. You don't have to sprint up hills, okay? If you know, when you start piling next week, as soon as you start going up, you're going to feel your heart rate going up, okay? When you're running these hills at first, we kind of want you to keep the same effort. So, of course, when you're going up, you're going to be going a little slower. That's okay. What we're doing, your teeth, you're using your muscles a little bit different, you're driving up. For those of us who use, I used to have the worst form in the world, where I'd be running like this. I tell you what, when you run hills, it corrects it. Somehow when you start running hills, you just get into a natural form, and all of a sudden, hey, my arms aren't crossing the center anymore. Hey, my head's not moving. For whatever reason, just running up and down hills helps you improve your form. Strengthen your legs.
Yeah, I mean, early on, especially, you want to focus on form over speed. I'm doing a lot of hill work right now because I'm going to run the TC10, and my workouts have been a lot better now that instead of working on focusing on how fast I can get this hill, it's been where's the breaking point when my form still holds normal, and I don't have to be running like this to get up the hill. And it's just, I think as we do these hills, we're going to do 4 weeks of them. Focus on form. The speed will come as you focus on the form. And my arms will get beat. I mean, I'm not like built like Kevin over here, but.
Hey, your arms will get tired right
now. My arms
will
get beat. It's a workout.
I have a question. So, how many days, if I already have hills in my workout, should I come back down to usually one day?
You could do Tuesday, Thursday. Yes. I used to live down there in Asheville, North Carolina, in the Smoky Mountains. One of my favorite runs to do, I'd have someone drop me off at the bottom of the trail, and I'd run the trail all the way up the mountain, about 17 miles, climb 3,000 feet, and someone pick me up at the top. It's the greatest workout in the world. You get everything covered. You get distance covered, either speed, cover, everything. You just get in much better shape. Another point is, on the downhills, you can get hurt. When you see steep downhills, don't sprint down them. You can overextend your legs, you're going to hurt your quads, your knees, your ankles, you might fall, it's just not worth it. So be cautious on some of the downhills that we go. Don't need to overdo it.
The only thing I'll throw in is for race day thinking, especially for those of you guys running Twin Cities Marathon, there's going to be some hills in there. Nothing like we're going to be doing in Highland. But enough to where you want to start thinking about perceived effort. You don't want to change your perceived effort of that hill. And what that means, especially in the first mile two of TCM, there's a decent hill. And guys are so, I mean, guys and women, everybody, just so full of energy that they just, you just can't help but take off that hill. And if you don't change your perceived effort, they're going to pull away. And let them go, because you're going to get them back. Because that mile two, I think, is where a lot of people's marathon blows up. They don't feel it till mile 20, but it's because of what they did at mile two. So think about perceived effort, think about form, don't worry about being the, you know, getting up there as fast as you can. Your heart rate's going to go up on its own.
Yes.
Other workouts we're going to do,
well, we don't think do too much of speed here. Okay, marathon's all about getting to that finish line. If you can't, it's hard to run the race fast if you can't finish the race. So a big goal is to build endurance. Speed will come later. It sounds like it's not true, but it will happen for us. Okay?
If you are interested in performance and how to increase your time in speed workouts, we can work with you on that, but it's not going to be the general tenor of the class. But we can certainly individualize.
Yeah, I mean, even back a long time ago, I could run a little quicker than I do now. Very little was done on speed. 5% of my running, very, very small amount. It's not needed. The important thing is building that endurance. And that's done through, as Mike's preaching, I'm going to preach, getting in 5-6 days a week, gradually building your miles, and the time will always come for you. A little trick I do on tiredness. Each of you, as I said before, is going to be your own best coach. Okay? You need to monitor how tired you are. And I've been running 30 years, Mike's been running a long time. It's easy for each one of us to lie to ourselves pretty easily. We think, oh, I'm not tired. I'm going to go do a workout. Oh, I'm not tired. But you really do need to monitor it. One little thing I do, I take a pulse every day. Okay? Get kind of a base where you're resting pulse. You'll notice as time goes on, the better shape you get at, your resting pulse should lower. If your resting pulse starts going up, you're tired. You're tired, you're sick, something is going on in your body, and that's where you really need to monitor, okay, how fast am I running these runs? How long am I running these runs? Do I need to really take a day or two off? You know, what do I need to do? And come talk to us about it. If that starts happening to you, we'll figure something out. Kevin.
Marty, I had a couple questions about training with gels and shot blocks and whatnot. Can you talk about your thoughts on training with
that? I'm old school again. Oh. I've had one gel in my life.
Oh.
I might be the wrong person on that.
All right.
Back in my day, honestly, we drank Coca-Cola. We eat M&M's, peanut butter bread. Seriously, that's what we would take in. Mike might be a little
bit. I was converted. I was on the edge. I was running during the end of the old school era. So I've got converted gels for sure. We're gonna have a nutritionist talk in 2 weeks, and she can hopefully I'm gonna highlight what she said. Every 45 minutes is about when it's time to refuel. And that's gonna be different for everybody based on your pace. It works for me. When I get to mile 20, it's about when it might be time for another gel. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know, my stomach isn't really up for this, so I don't take it. Some ways I want this placebo for some of these races because you're going to get a lot of the nutrients you need from the Gatorade. But it doesn't, you know, I'd say every 45 minutes, go ahead and try it out. And that's what these long runs are for. There's a lot of different kinds of gels out there, and I can't recommend one to you because it's going to be an individual difference about what works and what doesn't. I like the Power Bar gels, but you know, it took trial and error. I tried a whole bunch of them until I found the one I want. Now, you're supposed to take them with water, that's the other thing. Yeah.
I don't think that's true at all. I've been taking gels since they came out with them. I think you take a gel, you go an hour, and that's about when you're at the depletion level. You can take them with or without water.
I'm just telling you
every half hour, 45
minutes. That's the thing, though, is you need to find out what works for you.
Yeah.
The important thing is, that's what Saturdays are here for, practice it, and don't do anything new on marathon day.
I was going to say that as well. Now is the time to start practicing with the gels. If you haven't used them and you're interested, I swear by them, so if you have any questions, you can ask me. But now is the time to start training with them.
See, I'll have someone out, of course, throw me, shake up a Coke, get this out, throw it to me, and eat it, or I'll grab it, have someone give me a handful of M&Ms and sugar.
Yep.
And you burn it, just boom. That's what your preference is. It's funny.
I mean, you ask around, you're going to hear, you ask 20 people, you'll probably hear 15 different answers. Find out what works for you.
Steve.
Well, just to say with your Coke thing, if anybody watches the Tour de France, then there, you'll watch them. That's what those guys take at the food stops. They'll literally hand them cans of Coke. So, you know, it might be old school. It's still happening.
Don't do it beforehand. In class 5-6 years ago, there's Jude Mertz was in the class, and I had him convince Coke, M&Ms, any type of sugar. And I swear his entire family was out on that course, because every 2 miles, somebody was trying to hand us a Coke or M&M. And he's like, okay, that's enough. You only eat so much. I mean, your body's going to get you through about 20 miles. So another 6 miles, you might need 400-500-600 calories out there. You can kind of figure that out on your long runs beforehand. You know, if you need 2 gels for 20 miles, you might need 3 or 4 to make it 20 sets for that extra 6 miles.
I was doing gummy lifesavers for a long time, but the gels are a meter, don't melt in my
pocket. What's the sponsored drink?
Powerade. The blue stuff.
The blue stuff, yes.
So we'll have that out.
Yes, we got a fresh batch of Powerade today.
So that's for TCM. If you're running a different marathon, you can just enjoy Powerade.
More questions?
The only thing I'll say about the training, if you look at the, you know, we're doing base building, Nexus Hill, which is supposed to be strength building. We're going to do some pace work. It's not like when we're done with hills, kind of getting back to what you're talking about. Okay, we're done with hills, now I'm going to do speed. Like, you don't ever stop doing any of these phases. You want to look for hilly routes throughout your runs, especially because the marathon's going to have some hills in it. It doesn't mean you focus on form and try and, you know, focus on the hill, but you just want to kind of add them into your easy runs. You do that, you're still working on hills. That's something you can start on today. Well, tomorrow.
Yes.
That's it. I had an issue with my printer at work, which is, well, I should have been working, I know, but I was trying to print out my document for you guys. It didn't work, so I'm going to try and pull it up here. If it doesn't, you are going to watch an awesome job of winging this presentation. So what I'm going to cover is, I think you're about to watch an awesome job reading this presentation. Hold on one second. I'm going to cover sort of what Marty was talking about, you know, sort of goes into the idea of, I'm going to cover two things. Goals, and just sort of how to apply mentally everything that we talked about. Because it's real easy when you're in a group, two things can happen. If you're in a group one, it's real easy to go out too hard, because if you're with 10 people, there's going to be some variation, and usually the guy who's fastest is going to be the one who's going to start dictating the pace. So you might be going too hard. Or the second thing that can happen is you might feel discouraged because you're working so hard. So we kind of want to talk about, you know, what mentally it's going to take to sort of execute this plan that we talked about. So the mental approach to training, and then also the mental approach to race day. It's important to start thinking about that now, because, I mean, who hasn't thought about the marathon yet, right? I mean, it's on our minds, so let's start preparing about it in the correct way. And then I also want to kind of talk about mental discipline versus mental toughness, and talk a little about goal setting. So in terms of the mental approach to training, I think what you want to kind of think about running a marathon is kind of like flying an airplane instead of an outdoor. If you get real emotional like flying an airplane, you're going to be like, well, I'm flying, this is awesome, and you'll probably crash. Or, holy crap, I'm flying, this is scary, and you'll probably crash. Pilots are notoriously, you know, calm, cool, and collected, and they have a plan and they follow it. And that's kind of what you want to have starting, you know, 2 weeks ago. Just simply by following the training schedule that we have planned out, you know, running 4, 5, 6 days a week,
you are following the plan. What you want to kind of do is kind of set policies for yourself. Something to think about would be, Emily can attest to this, I'm really bad at this, but saying, when I get home, I'm going to be running within 15 minutes, no matter the weather condition. Have a rule or something like that, that it doesn't matter what the weather is like, it doesn't matter what traffic's like, it doesn't matter how tired you are, within reason, you're going to go out and get that run in, that workout in. Because on race day, they're not going to wait for you to feel good. They're not going to wait for it to be a good time for you. You have to go regardless of the weather condition. If your health is in jeopardy, they'll call the race. Especially, I know for a fact that Twin Cities Marathon will call it if your health is in jeopardy, because they don't want to have a repeat of 2007. So that's just sort of, I think as you're sort of doing all these workouts, you just kind of want to think about, well, what's my policy, what's my rule here? Yeah, that's the number one thing. When it comes to the long run, you already touched on this, you want to kind of have, already be thinking about treating these long runs as a dress rehearsal. What fueling system works for you, what garb is going to work for you, what do you wear, and you start playing around with that now. What's your morning routine like, right? What's it going to take so that you get all the bathroom stuff taken care of, so that you have the right meal that sits with you, so there's not more bathroom stuff to take care of, you know, mile 20, things like that. And then, you know, ask around. If you're new to marathoning, ask around. See what works for other people. When I first ran my marathon with Marty, we pulled in the parking lot at Best Western on the grandma's course, and he had donuts and Mountain Dew. So.
Time for a race, man.
What's that?
Time for a race, man.
Well, ask around. Think critically. Do what works for you. See, for me, I came into running marathons from a 5K, 8K cross-country kind of perspective. And it really took me two or three races to figure this distance out. And, you know, I think one of the things about being a distance runner, and I said this before, is that distance runners aren't really supposed to think. Right? I mean, the more you think, sometimes the more trouble you get into. Now, if you think this is going to be harder, I can't do this, or, you know, oh my gosh, I just ran 20 miles, I'm supposed to run 26 in a month, how's that ever going to happen? That's the kind of thinking that you should. That's what it does. It's an essence of mind. So, but the approach that I brought to the table was, the gun went off, it's time to race. And I remember running with Marty, I mentioned this on the first day, that, you know, he ran, we were together mile 20, and he ran at 250, and I barely broke three. What happened in those 6 miles is the difference between an experienced marathoner and a rookie.
I had Coca-Cola and M&M's.
That's right. I started racing right away. And I was like, you know what, I can gut out any race. I'm tougher than anybody around me. I'm not tougher than 26 miles. And I didn't know that. And there's such a difference because you have a lap to go in a race, and boy, you can just tough it out. But when the wheels come off, I'm not scaring anybody here, but when the wheels come off, there's no gutting it out. There's no toughing it out. There's stopping or just going this one pace that you have left. Okay? That's not supposed to scare you. It's just supposed to say, be disciplined. If you're disciplined from start to finish, you're going to be okay. You know, mental toughness is great for running a 5K. It's great for running a half marathon. It has no business in a marathon until maybe mile 23. You want to kind of have that pilot's calm, cool, collected. When I run those first 13 miles, I like to think that I'm sort of flying above the whole field. You know, Roger Robinson's another very, very good. Was he a qualifier type marathoner?
I don't know.
Yeah, he came and talked about 3 years ago to the class, and he talked about running in a bubble for the first 10, 15 miles, so that you can kind of take everything in, but you're not darting over there to give somebody a high five. You're not, you know, you're not just, you know, getting crowded and doing everything like that. You're just sort of observing and sort of taking it in, but you're not interacting. You're not letting the moment take you away. What you want to visualize for the first 10, 15, 20 miles is you running your own race. You want to visualize people pulling away from you, especially on the Twin Cities Marathon course. Those hills, if you run them too hard too soon, are going to come back to get you. If you run them with the exact same effort as you do go up, down, or flat, you're going to be strong and mild. And so think about that sort of mental discipline it takes to filter all of that out. You kind of want to have that mental discipline now. You want to kind of be able to say, okay, you know, I'm running with the Kenyans. They're doing about 8:30s today. I feel more like 8:45. Let them go. Look around. Maybe somebody else is going to go with them. Maybe you're feeling good. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to pick up the pace, or are you going to stay with the game plan that's right in front of you? Your mental discipline, you can stay with what's with you.
So those are sort of the big picture here. That, you know,
there's no, you want to be more sort of disciplined, more analytical, and use the fire and brimstone and the piss and the vinegar for the last 3 miles of the race. That's what I'm saying. Really,
and what my athletes sometimes say, I'm used to running Kevin, and maybe Mike runs behind us, and 5 miles in the race, Mike passes us. We're like, well, he's not supposed to pass us. Don't think that. Run your race, not someone else's race. Or if I'm running with Kevin and we're at a water stop, I think this happened to us, where I got stuck at a water stop and he probably pulled 10, 15 seconds ahead of me. Don't go make up that 10, 15 seconds in the next quarter mile. You make it up over time. Just maintain your pace. Stay calm like the pilot. You'll get there. Don't worry about it. Because anytime you increase that pace, you take so much more energy out of you, and you're going to pay for it at that.
Yeah, I remember that actually, because when I pulled ahead, when I got the water stuff, I remember thinking like,
this is great. You must be back there thinking I'm doing so awesome, and I'm just going, and this is so awesome.
Because, you know, he was just like, you're just sitting in the weeds. There wasn't even a race. We were doing our own thing. But I was so caught up in the fact that I had this gap. The mile, what, 18? Not even that, mile 13.
Somewhere right there.
Yeah.
And just like, been around enough to know that's a mistake to do. Just someone pulls ahead of you, don't worry about it. You'll catch him. If you don't catch him, you don't catch him. Run your race, not someone else's race. Very important to remember. It takes discipline to do it, because you're going to see someone, say Mike's there and I'm here, and just like, well, it's not going to take me much effort to catch him at the time, but you're going to pay for it later, so you don't even worry about it.
And really, I really hope this isn't supposed to be like, sound like it's intimidating or scaring anybody, and it's like, you better do this or you're going to crash. Because that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say this is a very manageable, doable race. But you kind of need to start with that control from the start. Are there any questions about all this? I want to talk a little bit about